Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Let me read to you a few verses here. Number three verses. Mark chapter 6, verse 6. And he being Jesus, marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Matthew 8, 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Matthew 8, 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the coming and going of faith. Faith is my favorite subject because the Bible said, above all, take the shield of faith. When your faith is right, everything is right. Only twice in all the Bible did Jesus marvel. Entire Bible, only twice did he marvel. Both times involved faith. Once because of the greatness of faith, Jesus marveled, and once because of the lack of faith, Jesus marveled. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. We all want to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our flesh, by its incumbent nature, is not an entity of faith. The Bible teaches us that our flesh has enmity with the Spirit of God. That means we must train ourselves in our flesh to become people of faith. And that's what we attempt to do in this church, is to train you to become people of faith. Because if you become people of faith, you become people that win in every area. Marvel. That word is used so scarcely in the Bible. It means amazed. It means wondered. It means shocked, astounded. Only twice was Jesus astounded, amazed. Both times talking about faith. When we talk about faith in God, we would think, well, that's just easy to obtain. But the truth is, it's the greatest battle of life. And when we are in the society that we are in, it's more difficult to have faith than it was in times past. Because anything that fortifies our flesh is an attack on our faith. And so when we talk about the trust in technology that we have, it's a real attack on our faith. Today they are, as we speak, probably right this moment, they're sending up a rocket again in the United States. And you know the purpose of this? About a minute in flight, it's going to burst into flames because they've had that problem. And so now they are programming it to catch on fire to prove that they can take care of the fire once it burst in fire. In other words, they're solving their own problem. That's what the launch is about today. Technology is an amazing thing. But when we have all of this technology, it's easy to trust in it. The Bible said some trust in horses and chariots. That's about all they had to trust in. But we trust in technology. We trust in money. The more money, the more education, the more technology, the more aggressive we must become in the good fight of faith. That we use these things as tools, but we do not trust in them. That which fortifies our faith, it fortifies our flesh, is an attack on our faith. And so we must work for our faith. No wonder the Bible said it's difficult for the rich and the mighty and the noble to receive the kingdom of God. And so we must work to become people of faith. The reason why I am such a strong proponent of worship, because worship is a great, great weapon for our flesh. It has a way of limiting your flesh and exalting the Spirit of God in you when you begin to worship the Lord. And so when you look at these two stories, the one where they doubted so greatly that Jesus, and I'm amazed, I marvel at their doubt, I marvel at their faithlessness. And then again when he marveled at the faith of the centurion. But those that he marveled at because they had, those were his own people. That was the people that he grew up with, and that was their contention. So how can he have this wisdom? How can he speak these words? How can he do these mighty? Is this not Mary and Joseph's son? Is this not the one that we grew up with? It's very easy to become very familiar with the things of God. And with familiarity comes faithlessness. Oh, I've seen this before. I've heard them sing that song before. I've heard that sermon before. I've been in this atmosphere before. Jesus marveled because they doubted his word. Jesus marveled because they doubted his wisdom. Jesus marveled because they doubted his mighty work. Jesus marveled because they doubted him because of his occupation. They said, is this not the carpenter? The fact that he had a menial occupation caused them to doubt. They doubted him because of his familiarity, because they knew him. They doubted him because of his family. All of these things played into their faithlessness. And Jesus looked at them and he just marveled. And the Bible simply said he could do no mighty work there because of their faith. Which tells us if the Lord is going to work in our life, it must be an atmosphere of faith. And so we have to do everything in our power to demonstrate faith in our own life, to believe God, to come against everything. Our own flesh is a weapon of the enemy to keep us from having faith. Say, well, you know, the Lord might do it for somebody, but not me, because I know my own weaknesses. You know, I stumbled on that verse 40 years ago, I suppose, where it said, Elijah, a man of like passion, and yet he spoke, it rained not. He spoke, and the heavens opened up, and it did rain. But he was a man of like passion. And when I begin to study in the scripture, I find these great men of faith, I find that they are just as fleshly as I am. And it helps me understand that my flesh cannot stop the power of God from demonstrating in my life if I have faith in God and not in my own flesh. Some people have tremendous faith in their flesh, and then when their flesh fails them, their faith also fails. My faith is not in my flesh. I realize that God has not done mighty works in my life because of my prayer, because of my preaching, because of my giving, because of my sacrifice. I realize that God has done great things in my life, not because of me, but in spite of me. And people are always amazed when they put Billy Graham up or they put anybody up. You know, there are people that hate Dr. King, and so they list all the failures in his life. Dr. King was just like you and me. He had failures in his life, but that does nothing to diminish his greatness. And so they put these people on a pedestal, and the moment they see there's a flaw in them, they lose all of their faith. My faith is not in man. My faith is in the God that created man and the God that is allowed to work through man. And so I want to tell you that the God that was is the God that is. The same God exists today, the God that created heaven and earth. And so we will look at all the negative things that caused these people that was raised with Jesus Christ to doubt him. We look at the other side of the coin, and here is a centurion. He apparently was not raised with Jesus. He was a newcomer to the reputation of Jesus, but yet he had such faith that Christ marveled at it. Jesus dealt with unbelief every day of his life, and it was a bright, sunshiny day when he came in contact with a centurion. He was shocked. He was amazed that there was a man that had such faith. Friend, I want to be that kind of a person. I want to shock God with my faith. I want him to realize that I don't look at my own inadequacies and say, well, God, you can't use me because of this. I can say, God, you can use me because my inadequacies do not compare with your ability, and you're able to overcome my flesh and do great things. The Bible teaches us that this man had tremendous faith. Amazing faith. Jesus said, I've never seen any faith like this, not on all of Israel. And so when you look at his life, he had faith beyond his worthiness. He said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. He realized that the power of God demonstrated in his life was not based on his worthiness. And so when you come into this building today and say, I need a miracle, you shouldn't look at your worthiness and say, God's going to do this because I come every Wednesday and I become every Sunday and because I pay a tithe check every pay period. That's not the reason why you've got faith. You've got faith in God because he is. You've got faith because he is marvelous. You've got faith because he knows no limitation. You've got faith because he holds all power in his hands. You have faith that he's able to perform that which he's promised. That what God has done is so amazing that you know that he can do it again. And no matter what you need in your life today, you say, God, you're going to do this in my life, not because I'm worthy, but because your love is so great and so fantastic. This man did not go into apologies about all the reason why Jesus Christ would not work a miracle for his servant. He just began to talk about the attributes of God and say, my worthiness, my unworthiness is not a factor in what you're going to do. He had faith in God's word. He said, I know that you will just send your word. He understood the principle of the spoken word. Say unto this mountain, Jesus said. He understood the authority of the word of God. And he understood the principle of coming and going. Friend, I want to tell you that God's word is amazing. That God's word is supernatural. That's the reason why we can do a lot of things in church. We can have all kinds of entertaining things. We can have great praise and great worship. And we can embrace all kinds of technology. But we cannot ever remove the word of God from a worship service. That's the reason why people err when they come in and they quote poetry and they tell great stories, but they never give one scripture. I listened to a sermon which was a great, great talk a few months ago, but he didn't quote one verse. He didn't read one verse from the Bible. And so as good as it was, it did not have the element of the supernatural because God's word is supernatural. Jesus marveled at this man's faith. Because the man made this statement, you don't have to come to my house, simply speak the word, send the word. Ladies and gentlemen, how much do we believe the word of God? Pastor Brandon preached an amazing message the other day, and he ended up with all those promises that God gave us. And as great as they were just a few out of thousands of promises that God has given us in the word of God. And the devil wants to explain away the word of God. This is not going to happen because of this. It's not going to happen because of you. It's not going to happen because of some other person. It's not going to happen because of this circumstance. It's not going to happen because of the age and the time you live in. But ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that can keep the word of God from prevailing in your life if you have true faith. And the centurion had that true faith. He understood that faith cometh by hearing. That's what the Bible said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word of God. But now, it's not about faith just coming. How does faith now become a real factor in your life? If faith cometh by hearing, creation comes by speaking. It's one thing to hear the word of God. But you have to get the word of God more than just going to hear a sermon. It has to become a part of you. You've got to own the word of God. That's the reason why you should take notes. That's the reason why you should memorize. That's the reason why you should study on your own. Why? I'm getting the word of God inside of me. David said, I will hide the word of God in my heart that I will not sin against God. And the Bible said, whatever is not of faith is sin. When you hide the word of God in your heart, it begins to increase your faith level. And when the devil comes in like a flood, instead of you being fearful, that word begins to bubble up out of you. And you begin to say, like Jesus said to the devil, it is written. And when you can say that and say it with authority, it's a part of your life. Suddenly that trial is no longer devastating. That temptation is no longer defeating. Suddenly you have power, and the very power of creation lives inside of you. The Bible said that we understand by faith that the world was created by the word of God. The world was created by the word of God. God literally spoke this word into existence. The great key to this story of the centurion was, he said, you don't have to come into my house, under my roof. Just speak the word. In other words, there does not have to be a physical manifestation for the miracle to happen. I'm going to believe the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's true faith. It's not how we feel. Say, well, if it's this happens and so-and-so happens and I feel a certain way, I'm going to believe the word of God. He said, no, you don't have to show up physically for me to believe your word. I believe that my servant is going to be healed. It's a matter of just accepting the Word of God. You don't have to get goosebumps. You don't have to feel like shouting. You just say, the Word of God says I'm healed. The Word of God says I'm the head. The Word of God says I'm an overcomer. The Word of God says that God is going to elevate me, that God's going to prosper me. The job is going to be mine. The victory is going to be mine. The financial blessing is going to be mine. The soul is going to be won. Why? Because the Word of God said it. We understand by faith the world was created by the Word of God, framed by the Word of God. My question today is, do you frame your world by the Word of God? Or do you let circumstance frame your world? Well, this happened and that happened, and so-and-so did this, and that's the reason why I'm in the situation I'm in. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said it was void, it was dark, it was without form. But then the Bible said, but God said, your world today might be dark, it might be void, it might be without form. You can just collapse and quit and say, well, I guess that's the way it is. You know, so-and-so's against me. No, there's going to be a lot of voidness in your life, a lot of darkness in your life. But if you've got faith, true faith, out of that darkness, out of that voidness, suddenly there can be a world that is framed that you want to live in. I refuse to accept defeat. I refuse to let the devil be the architect of my life. I refuse to let doubt be what performs in my life. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I believe that my God is able. I thank God for technology. I thank God for money. I thank God for all the technology and all the medical things that happen in our world. But my faith is in Almighty God. That's the reason why I can go to a doctor and find out what's wrong and him be negative, but I can come out of that doctor's office and get a miracle because my faith is greater, not in technology, not in money, not in medical science. My greatest faith is in Almighty God. So I fight the good fight of faith. I fight technology. I fight money. I fight the flesh and say, my God is greater than my bank account. My God is greater than my doctor's report. My God is greater than my flesh. My God is greater than every way. I believe that God is able to do anything. And I might be in the fiery furnace, but praise God, there's going to be a fourth man in my fiery furnace. That's the reason why people deal with what they call the Big Bang Theory, evolution, all of these. It's an absence of faith in regards to creation. I believe that God created this world by His Word. And that bolsters my faith to say if God can create this world by saying, the Word of God says over and over again in Genesis 1, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And so when I get a bad report, whose report am I going to believe? I'm going to believe and the God said report. I'm going to believe that God is greater than cancer, that God is greater than diabetes, that God is greater than poverty, that God is greater than depression. You say, well, is that easy? No, it is a fight, fighting the good fight of faith. But praise God, my faith fights my flesh. My faith even fights my facts. And well, you can't argue with black and white. Oh, yes, I can. There's been a lot of times when I put it down in black and white and I didn't like what it said. And I would say, my faith is greater than the figures on this paper. My faith is greater than black and white. My faith is greater than what are the elements of this world. My faith says my God can change anything and He will change it in my behalf. Abraham believed that God was able to perform that which He promised. And the older he got, you see, Abraham started believing for that baby when he was pretty young. The older he got, the more unlikely it was that the promise of God was going to be fulfilled. Some of you have been believing God for some things for a while. But the farther you go down the road, the harder it is for you to believe. The older he got and the older Sarah got, the more difficult it was for him to believe that God was able to give them a baby. Once that biological clock quit ticking, it's now an impossibility. Let me tell you, we are serving a God that deals in impossibilities. There are people in this building right now, you need a miracle in your life, and it looks like it's totally impossible, but all you need is faith in God because God said, God said. God is your healer. I love to read stories, and I read a lot of them about people that were hopelessly ill, hopelessly sick. The doctors said they could not recover, but they would believe God. I listened to Creflo Dollar the other day. I did not understand this, that Creflo Dollar was diagnosed with cancer. I had no idea. He said, well, he didn't say much about it. Friend, I'm going to tell you that people of faith, they don't celebrate the devil much. They don't talk about the weapon much. They don't talk about the enemy much. They're too busy talking about the answer. They're too busy talking about God. But I listened to Creflo tell that story of how God healed him from cancer. It just thrilled me. And I don't like to fly anymore. I used to fly all the time. I just don't like to fly. The equipment is older. And I read, you know, one of my relatives lived next door to a commercial pilot, and he was an alcoholic, and he would go to work drunk. And I hear all these stories. And then I made a mistake, I started watching that deal on TV called Air Disasters. And if you fly for a living, don't watch that show. I've got a friend that flies to Russia every other month. He's there 4 weeks, then he's home 4 weeks, then he's there 4 weeks, and he's here 4 weeks, and he makes a lot of money. And he has to do that every 4 weeks. And so I saw him a while back, and I said, Daryl, you ever watch that show, Air Disasters? He said, are you kidding? He said, of course I don't watch that show, and I don't want you even telling me about that show. And so I've got to where I'm not as excited. I used to just love to fly, but I just heard too many stories. And so I'm not as excited about it as I used to. And then Creflo got to telling that story. He has his own plane, how he got out in the middle of the ocean and his engine shut off. I'd never heard him tell that before. And, man, I got scared for him. And I knew he had survived because there he was preaching. But he said those engines shut off out in the middle of the ocean. And he said, I didn't panic. He said, I just began to confess the word of God. And they restarted those engines. He was able to return back to the airport, but he was like 2 or 3 hours away. Oh, it was great. I listened to those stories because I want to tell you, my God does the impossible. There's somebody in this building right now, you need a healing. And you listen to people that tell you you can't get healed. I'm going to tell you that God is able to heal you this morning in this building. He is a miracle worker. He's walking these aisles right now. And what you've got to do is you've got to get that same faith and say, I'm like the servant, I understand. He said, I'm under a man under authority. He said, I say, go, and he goes. I say, come, and he comes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what faith is. It's that servant. And you can say, faith go or faith come. They used to make fun of that preacher in Lafayette, Louisiana, because he said all the time, money cometh to me. He's in Lafayette, a relatively small town, and he built a major ministry there, and it was a very wealthy ministry in Lafayette, Louisiana, and people were laughing at him. You know, it's all right for people to laugh at Sarah, but she's still going to get pregnant. It's all right for people to laugh at you, but you're still going to get healed. It's all right for people to laugh at you, but your business is still going to be successful. It's all right for people to laugh at you, but praise God, you're still going to get your miracle. It's all right for people to laugh at you. You're still going to get your payday. You're going to get your money. If you've got faith and you don't waver, but praise God, you've got to get a deaf ear to those people that are negative, those people that are critical, the people that say, God doesn't do that anymore. Somebody was telling me, they were telling the bank teller about their miracle, and the bank teller said, I don't believe that God works miracles anymore. Well, that's all right. You don't have to believe it because you don't get one. But praise God, God's worked so many miracles in my life. My God has healed me. My God has saved me. My God has turned my finance around. God has put money in my account. God has given me the person that I needed to have favor with. I've had people that just hated me, and they just turn around. And all of a sudden, people that hated me would fall in love with me. I don't even know how anybody could hate me anyway. What is there to hate? I'm the most lovable guy in the world. What's wrong with those people? But I've had people in the business world, and they'd tell me later, you know, I used to not like you, but I've got to know you better. It wasn't getting to know me better. It was God was working on their heart. God's able right now to touch somebody's heart on a Sunday morning that you're going to have to deal with on Monday or Tuesday, and you're going to have to have a yes from them, and they've been saying no all along, but praise God, they're going to say yes. because your faith is going to be like a servant. You're going to send it out, praise God. And you can make be like that judge. He said, I don't fear God. I don't regard man, but a little widow woman, I'm going to say yes to you. God's got a yes for somebody that's been getting to know. You've been getting to know for months, but praise God, that no's getting ready to turn into a yes. That emptiness is getting ready to be fulfilled. All you need is faith that just will not shrink, faith that will not quit. My God is able. My God loves me. My God is on my side. My God's going to take care of this problem. My God is going to adjust my blood. My God is going to work on this sickle cell problem. My God is going to work on my mind. My God is going to work on my eyes. God's going to work on my marriage. God's going to work in my family. God's going to work in my children. Praise God. I'm telling you, folks, all we need is that same kind of faith that Jesus marvels at. And you've got that servant called faith that just goes out and it does all kinds of things. Praise God. I'm praying and believing God. I'm supposed to get a contract tomorrow that will be the biggest contract of my life. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. I've got people around me. I don't have any people of doubt around me. Praise God. Pastor Brandon's full of faith. Pastor Becky's full of faith. My secretary's full of faith. We don't have people that are negative around us. We just escort them off somewhere else. You said, what about so-and-so that used to go to this church? Oh, we sent them to another church because we just couldn't stand their doubt. Not really. But praise God. God surrounds us with people of faith, people that are going to strengthen you, people that are going to encourage you. You can do anything. God's always raised people up out of this congregation. Praise God. I miss Brother Leslie so much. Somebody needs to take over his ministry. Somebody needs to volunteer for that. He sat right here for so many years. For so many years. If I didn't preach very good, Brother Bud, I didn't go down that way. I always, you know, sometimes I go down this aisle. Sometimes I go down. When I don't preach very good, I always went down this aisle because old Brother Leslie would grab me and he'd always say, you're somebody's preacher. You're somebody's preacher. He had a way of just encouraging me. Now, maybe you're big enough that you want to surround your people, yourself with people that criticize, that are negative. I'm just not that big. I surround myself with people of faith. Praise God, you can do it. The Lord's on your side. God's going to heal you. God's going to make a way. God's going to open the door. God's going to bless you. Your business is going to flourish. Your kids are going to come back home. Your marriage is going to be strong. You're going to be in health. You're not going to die. You're going to live. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord's on your side. Ladies and gentlemen, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you hope for anything today? You say, yeah, but I don't have any evidence. You don't need evidence. All you need is faith. God is going to bring something out of nothing. God's going to turn your world around. God's going to make a miracle where there's been a mess. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to get a miracle in this service. We're about through. We're going to be out those doors in about 10 minutes. Before that 10-minute period, somebody in this building is going to get a miracle right now. In the name of Jesus. We've been having big miracles. Praise God. Somebody was here in this altar. She's here today. But she sent me a private message to me about when I prayed for her last Wednesday night, how God healed her while I was praying for her. I'm going to tell you, God's going to heal somebody today. There's somebody in this building. You've had a disease and a sickness and been in pain for weeks and months, in some cases years, and you're in this building today. And as I'm speaking to you, your faith is beginning to move up. Your faith is beginning to say yes and amen. It's not because you're the best person in the house. It's not because you wrote the biggest check. It's not because you never missed a service. It's because suddenly you've got faith that God is all he said he is, that he's almighty, that he's a healer, he's a savior, he's a provider, he's a baptizer. He's not 1,000 miles off. God is in this building right now. He's walking up and down these pews like he walked around that pool saying, will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? And God is just looking for somebody to volunteer and say, yeah, today in all this crowd, I'm going to be made whole. My arthritis is going to be gone. Praise God. God is going to heal you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Sister Becky, put your hands out right now. I'm going to heal your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. The devil hates these hands that play on that keyboard. He wants to bring pain and arthritis. I bind arthritis. I bind pain. I command them to be flexible, to be pain-free in the name of Jesus. You are totally healed. Praise God. We have been healed of cancer and heart disease and sickness, and God is never changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's in this building right now. You need to say to your faith, praise God, go get me a healing. Go say your faith, go get me a healing. Go get me a miracle. Go get me a job. Go get my daughter. Get her saved, praise God. Faith needs to become your servant in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and give God praise. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this room right now. Somebody's about to get a miracle. You're on the verge of a breakthrough. Your flesh is releasing its hold and your spirit is soaring. And suddenly you say, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm filled. I'm delivered. Somebody that's bipolar right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind that bipolar disorder and I command that you be encouraged in the Lord, that you be healed in your mind, that you have a joy of living. I bind depression. I bind fear. I bind hopelessness in the name of Jesus. The Lord is in this house and God wants to manifest his miracle and he's going to be marveling at you one way or another. He's going to marvel at your unbelief, or he's going to marvel at your great faith. Say, oh, it's for somebody else. The Lord marvels that you would pass it on to somebody else and say, why not you? But there's somebody in this building right now, say, I'm believing God is going to do it today. On just a Sunday morning with a pastor preaching, God is going to work a miracle in my family, in my life, in my body, in my finance, in my spirit, in my mind. Oh, in the name, I keep coming back to this in the Holy Ghost. There's somebody in this building that is battling with depression so bad. You're just so depressed. You're saying, why should I go on living? I have no point of living. So many things have failed in my life. I speak against the spirit of depression. I speak into you the mind of Christ. I speak into you the abundant life. I speak into you the joy of living. Praise God, God is in this house right now, and he's saying, believe me, let me marvel at your faith. Let me marvel at your faith. Somebody's believing God for the biggest job you've ever had, the best job you've ever had. Somebody's believing God for a business. Somebody's believing God to save their marriage. Somebody's believing God to save their family. Somebody's believing God that pain is going to leave your body right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, begin to praise God all over this house. Create an atmosphere that Jesus doesn't have to leave, but he can say, this is my people. Oh, I marvel at your faith. I marvel at your worship. I marvel at who you are. In the name of Jesus, get ready, get ready, get ready. God's going to work a miracle. God's going to take the pain out of your body. God's going to let you move without pain. God's going to give you flexibility in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Oh, mama, kosotoya. In the name of Jesus. If you need a miracle of any kind, if you need to be saved, that's the greatest miracle of all. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you ought to run to this altar.